Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. Now Larson's gone, everybody. Oh, no. Oh, he's here.
Tricked you all. I'm still here.
Wow. I was shocked. I thought we were just going to take yesterday off because I was on vacation, but then somebody went rogue on me, decided to hire some weird luchador to come sit and burn farts into my seat.
Luchando, man.
I like Luchando.
Yeah, we're huge fans of Luchando.
Well, hold on a second. I wouldn't go that far. Push for Luchando, yes or no? Yay or nay? No,
push,
of course not.
Push him off what?
Exactly. Off the ring apron, maybe?
Yeah.
Or a cliff.
Yeah.
Either one. Anyways, well done yesterday.
I'll say thanks again to Luchando for filling in. He did a great job.
No, he did a fantastic job. I have not watched the whole show, but what I did watch, I thought it was fantastic. And the thing that I'm happy about with Luchando is that this just means more days off you and I can take.
Yeah, I know.
Because if you want to go on vacation, you're out of here, and he's sitting
Luchando.
Right here. Exactly. So, no, all in all, it was very cool of him to come in here and fill in for Steve here. And so that was really great. You did a good job keeping him in line, which I know can't be easy.
Well, the hardest part is I do talking on show, but I don't do a lot. I mean, I don't do the majority of the talking.
I ramble and ramble and ramble.
I found it very early on. I said as much during the show. I was like, wow, that's hard to fill up an hour worth of podcast.
Yeah.
Doing most of the talking.
At least you had a mouth next to you who could say things, who could say words. When you were gone, I did it solo. That's why, no, now I'm like, oh, man, I'm all in on Luchando.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to, because then I can still ramble, but then I get those couple minutes off where he's just, you know.
Yeah.
So, now, all in all, I thought it was a fantastic trial run for Luchando and Going In Raw.
Yeah.
So, very, very fun. Anyways, so that's great. And then we're also, the response to...
Our video, our short film.
The first episode of Friendo Road.
Yeah.
6 pounds of H.
Yes.
Being defended at the Colonial Theater July 7th here in Sacramento, the historic Colonial Theater. How long has the Colonial been up?
A while.
Probably a while.
Yeah.
And I loved Luchando's reaction. Colonial Theater, huh? Big time. the H title will be... put on the line.
Yes. Adam Mayhem.
My
guy.
Garbage.
Against
Joey Ryan, man. That's my guy. That's the dude right there. You know, related? I think. I don't know. I saw him at a family reunion. Well, you guys saw the video. Anyways, that's a lot of fun. So that should be really fun. We're going to be there. I'm not sure exactly if we're going to take part.
I don't know what the situation is going to be.
Maybe we'll introduce it.
Yeah.
I don't
and
know.
And present the belt to the winner.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, I like that even better.
No, I think
that'd
be ideal. Just,
we don't introduce it.
No. Well, maybe we do is like, here's H title.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Winner gets it.
Are we going to wear suits?
No.
No? Really?
No.
I'm going to wear shorts and flip-flops like I did last time.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
It's going to
be,
yeah.
I'll be presentable. I'll wear jeans.
Oh, okay, right on. Can we wear matching flannels?
We don't have matching flannels. We each have flannels, but
we have
they're
a
not
lot
matching.
Of time between now and July 7th.
All right. Well, it's going to be hot. I don't want to wear flannels. It's going to be warm.
Can we get high beforehand?
No.
Please?
No.
No?
No.
Shit.
It's a professional environment, man.
Yeah, right. Anyways, welcome to Going In Raw, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We're available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. That sub count is still crashing.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
So be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com. Oh, Patreon. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. It says so right here.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of friendos tuning in right now, enjoying us. Banter, I guess, in the pre-show and the post-show. We also have the Friendo Care Package. $20 one time gets you this comic book, stickers, a poster, and a postcard. We've got, I put in the order today. I'm not going to spoil what it is. Put in the order today. We're putting together the second Friendo care package. And it's going to be available at our brand new merch store.
I want to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this on air.
Oh, cool. I like
when Let's reserve the name Friendo care package for the Patreon stuff. Let's think of a different name for this other thing.
Well, I was thinking this, because we can hash this out on air. I don't care. Because I'm not married to anyone.
Like the Friendo provision pack.
I like that even less. But
well, man, just literally just thought of
I
that.
Thought
I
each
think about
Friendo
it.
Care package could have a theme.
All right.
It'd be Friendo care package, but like, you know, whatever. Like if we ever did a Slayest version.
Yeah.
Like the Slayest Friendo care package.
All right.
This the this one here that you can get on the Patreon. That's the Patreon exclusive.
That's the, that's the legacy.
Legacy. There you see legacy. So it's up to I don't care if you have a more solid idea.
I did have a better name option. Like I was laying in bed a few days ago, and I thought of a good name option. Then I promptly forgot it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hash it out.
In my semi-dream state, I thought of a great name, and then
we'll figure it out. But at the new merch store, we're going to be selling whatever this new thing is that you're thinking of. That I refer to as Friendo care packages, and then also prints. We're going to make some of the t-shirt designs available as signed prints, some stickers, all sorts of good stuff. So that should be a lot of fun and another way for us.
Tommy
to make
Cat
money.
Says Friendo crate.
Friendo crate. I'm not. You know, crate has such a weird kind of box. Friendo box.
Friendo box.
It doesn't really come in a box though, does it?
No. Friendo envelope.
Thayer Thabata wants everybody to know the Friendoverse, the closed Facebook group, is currently running a raffle for an all-in ticket. You have to not have a ticket first. I'm not sure how they're going to regulate that one. However, if you want a ticket to all-in, you have to not have a ticket already. Try to join that Facebook. It's just go to Facebook and search Friendoverse, and then, you know, you get into the group. And then do something, and then ask for Thayer Thabata.
I'm sure all the
I think
details.
It's in the announcements.
Yeah, and there's a detail. I'm sure there's details in the Friendoverse Facebook group.
I'm wearing a shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees.
I am too, just not our store.
This one is from our store. So we're going to keep the Pro Wrestling Tees store.
Yeah.
But then also, like, this is the merchandise store is going to be, like, for other exclusive stuff.
Yeah.
Like, exclusive shirts. Because, like, sometimes, like, look, as much as I love Pro Wrestling
Tees. Yeah, they're great.
Like, the shirt that I'm thinking of doing, that I just put the order in for,
mm-hmm.
it's silk screen.
Yeah.
So it's not like the, you know, the flatter. It's like pops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the Patreon shirt that we
yeah.
do. It pops.
Yeah.
So it should be cool. Anyways. Friendolope.
Oh, that's good.
Get a Friendo companion cube. I like that. That's good. Anyways, we should probably talk about Raw. But
do we have to?
Dude, I do not want to. It was, look, maybe it was this. I drove 3 hours yesterday. It was actually a fairly pleasant drive. I felt like I was in a good mood.
Oh, what route did you take back from? You came back from San Jose, right? Or from Monterey?
From Monterey.
What route did you take?
Shit, I don't know. What
did you go?
The one to the 680?
Oh, all right.
Whatever.
Did you go through Salinas, or did you go more up the coast a little bit?
No, I went up through Salinas.
Okay.
I think. Pretty sure I went through Salinas.
So you just went east from the peninsula up through...
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
curious.
I like to stay away from the coast. I did the PCH, and I forget which stretch it is going south, but there's a stretch where it is treacherous.
Oh, yeah.
It's where it's only two lanes.
That's most of it.
And... Well, yeah, but then there's like a stretch that's like you're
if you go south of the Monterey Peninsula,
yeah.
Like, oh, the worst. One time my wife and I drove up the coast from like Morro Bay area
mm-hmm.
up to Big Sur.
Yeah.
And once you get up to the mountains by Big Sur, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right.
It's steep. It's windy. All sorts of switchbacks getting up the mountains.
Yeah.
That's treacherous.
I did.
And it's all two lane.
I did. God, I want to say it was probably SAC to L.A., and then we stopped off, this was ages ago, stopped off like midway. I forget, it was a little beach town ages ago. And there was one stretch of the PCH that was absolutely terrifying. And then I looked up on like Yahoo. I just happened to like come across one of those like clickbaity articles. It was like the most treacherous highways in the world. And granted, it wasn't like number one, but because, you know, number one is like, you know, a little tiny stretch of bridge and then it just falls off like 200 feet.
Yeah.
But it was on there. And, like, yeah, it's bad. Like, there's, like, a little railing, but, like, you're... It's
yeah.
all, like, oh.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that. There was none of that. So yeah, I didn't have to deal with that.
You
that
might have been good. That might have been the part by Big Sur then.
It could be. That could be.
Was it mostly uphill or downhill, depending on which way you were going?
Probably. I remember it being really bad. Talk about really bad Raw. Let's talk about Raw last night. Was it really bad? Like, in a nutshell, I feel like it was terrible, except for
Here's the thing. You told me it wasn't good before I really started getting into it.
Expectations were low.
So my expectations were super low. So I don't know if it was necessarily bad, but it was definitely weird. It was an off night.
Yeah, there were weird things going on.
There was a lot of weird going on.
Number one weird was, hey. And this should have been more entertaining than I feel like it was. Baron Corbin is Constable?
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that.
Of all the people Stephanie would appoint as Constable, why is it Baron Corbin?
The Lone Wolf is now a Constable.
But he's already like acting like he has, you know, near absolute authority.
I know. Like,
that's not the definition of a Constable.
A sheriff, basically, is
kind
supposed
to... I think a Constable has even less authority than a sheriff.
Right, exactly. You're supposed to sort of just keep things in order.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was...
It's more like a hall monitor.
Odo from Deep Space Nine was essentially a hall monitor.
Yeah.
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 He would just be always, like, getting on Quark.
He would just say, don't fight. Don't fight.
Yeah, and then if they tried to fight, he'd go... Like, his hands would do all the weird shit.
Yeah.
But anyway,
but he couldn't arrest anybody, right?
Yeah, no, he arrested people.
Oh, okay.
He was kind of like a town sheriff, basically.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. You could look up what the difference is.
My understanding of Constable is that they don't have that much authority.
My main problem with Raw was this. We're a couple weeks out. I think I have felt personally that the build to Money in the Bank has been decent. I think it's been okay. I think the qualifiers have been good.
Yeah.
We've had some good matches.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns wasn't on TV last week. Here's my thing. Money in the Bank, the build has been good, I think, because Roman Reigns is dealing with Jinder Mahal. So that's a non-factor. So regardless of what happens, we're going to get like something maybe kind of cool happening.
Maybe.
At Money in the Bank in terms of who's going to win this.
Here's my issue with the booking specifically on Raw for Money in the Bank. It's like Kevin Owens has just been doing weird stuff. Without a whole lot of motivation.
Yeah.
Last week, he interfered in the Braun and Finn Balor match, seemingly with zero motivation.
Yeah.
The finish to the match on Raw, again, seemed weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had the upper hand.
Yeah.
Why would he just then allow himself to get disqualified?
I know. I know. The finish last night to the main event was terrible. That was absolutely terrible. And then, dude... Why did they give us the coup de grace off the ladder when they could have saved that for Money in the Bank?
Because he's not winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I know.
He's not winning. He's not winning. Who else pulled the briefcase off already? Samoa Joe, he's not winning.
Did Braun do it?
No.
I don't think he did.
But Samoa Joe did on SmackDown last week. He's not winning.
He's not winning.
Everybody that's getting their moment with the briefcase prior to Money in the Bank is not getting a moment with the briefcase at Money in the Bank.
Is it possible that Rude's going to pull it down and turn heel?
Maybe.
Would it be worth it?
Yeah.
That'd be worth it.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be rude, though. It'd be weird if it was rude. But holy crap, how about that? I will say that. That match last night was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot
of
fun.
Braun Strowman's been putting on a lot of fun matches lately.
Bobby Roode was having a lot of fun with it, too. Mm-hmm. Especially with the ladder spot there.
Yes.
Anyway, the show opened up with Elias. He came out to cut a promo. You have here, he rips a sweet solo. Was that like in the first 2 minutes? Because I missed that.
Yeah. He comes out, you know, JoJo introduces him. He says a couple things and he rips off, pretty much he has a standard solo where he plays a chord and then does a little noodling.
Don't try to downplay his abilities, man. He's really good.
He's a decent guitar player.
He's really good. I think we haven't even scratched the surface. I get the feeling that we haven't scratched the surface with how good he is.
I don't know about that.
Dang good. Anyways, he rips off a sweet solo. He does some singing there in Houston.
Yeah.
So, of course, he talks crap. He
about
says,
the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sings like an ode to Seth Rollins while video footage plays of him destroying guitar over Seth Rollins' back last week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That, of course, he isn't interrupted by mm-hmm. Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down to the ring. He gets a chair out from under the ring, walks in. They kind of circle each other for a while.
Yeah.
And then Seth uses the chair to knock the guitar out of Elias's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Jinder Mahal comes to the ring, attacks Seth.
Yeah.
Elias and Jinder double team and attacking Seth.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns comes out and makes the save.
Crowd starts booing.
Yeah.
And like, oh, we thought we were going to get another Raw without him.
What a shock. Kurt Angle comes out and says, no, we're going to have ourselves a tag match.
I know.
It's the most predictable crap.
It's reminiscent of, like, you know, when SmackDown used to just get Teddy Long coming out there saying, oh, tag match now. Again, with this trying to get Roman over with Seth nonsense.
They tried that with Dean, didn't work.
Yeah. So we get that tag match.
And I noticed that David Otunga is on commentary. I found out this morning that Coachman was doing, he had an obligation with the Golf Channel or something like that.
Oh, again.
But they're in Booker T's hometown. Maybe Booker T had a prior obligation.
Is he still running for mayor?
I think.
Is that still a thing? Maybe he had to do something.
It's entirely possible. But when you're in Houston and there's a commentary seat open and you don't fill it with Booker T, it's a disappointment.
Oh, I know. I agree. That's why I think whatever he had was, like, rock solid.
Oh, it must
be. There is no way he would have, like, missed out on doing, or maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. But I think he definitely would have been there.
Yeah.
A lot of constituents. Yes. A lot of potential constituents there in the crowd.
What, Houston's what, the third or fourth largest city in America? Must be fourth. Fourth. Because it's New York, L.A., Chicago, then Houston,
yeah.
I think.
Sounds right. Anyways, next up. We had
We should say that Elias, again, a chair got involved in the match.
Yeah.
Seth brought it in, I think.
He did, yeah. And on top of all that, like, you know, we did the thing again where one of the Singh brothers, Sunil Singh, gets up on the thing. I don't know. It's a small thing, and I know it's a time-honored tradition in wrestling for wrestlers to have tunnel vision. But, man, the level of him not paying attention to his opponent, it's just it's beyond the realm of
possibility.
It's pretty
massive. I know. I
can't stand when they do that. They've been doing that more often lately. It bugs me. Or maybe I've just been noticing it more often lately. I don't know. But anyways, because of all that, I mean, here's the thing that bugs me, dude. Here's the thing that bugs me. Elias and Jinder Mahal, as far as I know, haven't really tagged together before. Like, I forget what happened last week.
I know. No, they
two members of the Shield, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, right? And while Dean had the U.S. title, the other two
were tag champions.
Were actual tag champions. They were tagging together,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Why is it they couldn't get on the same page to beat these two guys? That doesn't make any sense.
Roman's checked out, man.
Shooter kayfabe.
Yeah. Anyways.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Why were Jinder and Elias working as a more cohesive unit than former tag champions?
Right.
I understand.
Exactly.
Because in the end, Elias hits a DDT on Seth onto the chair.
Hell of a sell, too.
Yeah.
And that drift away sell job.
Yeah.
Man, we need to find a way to get Seth over to New Japan.
Heck
I just
yes.
want to see one match.
Oh, heck yes.
Just want to see what he could do
Seth
over there.
Seth versus Kenny Omega.
Whoa. Somebody mentioned in our comments that whenever we do this, and it might be me because I do this a lot, they can hear it through the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
And it, like, hits the ears.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to pound less. We should get some of those arms.
Yeah, we should.
Arms. I think they're pretty cheap. Anyways.
We should get some good ones, though.
Okay.
Probably more expensive. The ones with the springs in them and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Find some good ones, and we'll take a look.
All right.
Anyways, with that new merchandise money we're going
to
be making.
Yeah. We should get a new camera to shoot our short films.
Oh, we need a new DSLR.
Yeah.
But then we could probably play. What if we do, like, a DSLR for this, too?
Okay.
We can do whatever
we
want.
What can we do with this camera, then?
Oh, it's our field camera.
Oh, all right.
Two-camera setup. Get a third guy in here. Get Luchando back in here.
Yeah.
Be like close-ups.
Be like 10 for the win live.
Hey, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. Anyways, next up, I actually like this segment. This segment
was
okay.
Yeah, the premise of it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. Kurt Hawkins comes down, and he has a whole giant platter of tacos.
Well, it was a table with several platters of tacos.
Yeah. Not nearly enough, however, to fill an arena.
But that's what he says he's going to do, that when he wins his match. Not lose it.
Because he's at 0-199.
This would be his 200th loss in a row if he were to lose. We said not tonight. And when he wins, he's going to give everyone in the arena tacos.
Right. And he chose, he handpicked an opponent.
Yes.
A diminutive fella.
By the name of James Harden.
Yes.
Who, of course, is a member, the real James Harden.
The member, yeah.
Of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Probably the NBA's MVP this year.
Shouldn't be, but probably will be.
Probably
will
be.
Yeah.
And not only that. This James Harden was from Houston.
Yeah.
So the crowd's in a position. Are they going to cheer for the hometown guy who's named James Harden?
Right.
Or are they going to cheer for tacos?
Right. Yeah.
And what one, Steve?
Oh, tacos.
Tacos.
Of course. Tacos trumps everything, pretty much. It was all for naught, though. Kurt Hawkins was dominating James Harden.
Yes.
As he would, because this guy's small. And again, by the way, I just want to point this out. Curt Hawkins is so good on the damn mic.
Yeah, he is.
He's so, and I'm so disappointed with how this ended up turning out, because I thought it was going to go one way. Baron Corbin comes down, and he's got this smile on his face.
Yeah, smirk.
The smirk, thank you. He comes in, he doles out an end of days to James Harden, which of course gets Curt Hawkins disqualified. He eats his 200th loss. Baron Corbin goes back over to the tacos. Curt Hawkins tries to interfere. Baron Corbin puts him through the thing of tacos, right?
A taco platter, and then dumps the table of tacos.
He dumps the plate onto
Curt Hawkins, yes.
And so everybody's booing. He's belly chuckling. He's like belly laughing, which was my
favorite. He thinks
it's
funny that he denies an entire arena tacos.
Right, exactly. Which was kind of funny. However, my problem with it is this really should have led to Baron Corbin being the guy that Curt Hawkins gets to pin for his first win.
Roll up.
That should have been a feud that we got to see.
Maybe we still will see it. I doubt it, but
I doubt it, because that led to what happened later on with Baron Corbin, and we'll get to that in a moment. Before that, we had Natalya backstage learning from Ronda Rousey how properly to throw a punch. Ronda Rousey does have some very fast punches. Mm-hmm. Like when she was doing the thing, it was like, wow.
Yeah, fast hands.
Fast hands. Next up.
Yes, next. Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin backstage, where Baron Corbin reads from a letter from Stephanie McMahon. Apparently, Stephanie has decided to name Baron Corbin the Constable of Raw to be kind of her proxy.
Yeah.
When she is not in the arena, to oversee Kurt Angle's actions as general manager.
But a constable, so all I know about constables is what I know from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Because Odo, of course, the shapeshifter, was a constable. Here's, so why don't you go ahead?
Here is the definition of
constable.
Of constable, courtesy of, I'll do dictionary.com.
There you go.
An officer of the peace having police and minor judicial functions, usually in a small town or rural district. There's also, it says chiefly British, so do they call police officers constables?
Constable. Yeah, there was a lot of Bobbies on Twitter. I noticed that. I think they were called Bobbies on Twitter. I think they're, constables also.
So constable. Those are the, I mean, like the primary one, I guess, would be constable an officer of the peace.
Yeah.
Having police. But then there's this other one just from Google. A peace officer with limited policing authority, typically in a small town.
Yeah, but then also number two, the governor of a royal castle.
I don't think that's the role.
I don't think that really fits.
No.
But it's kind of like that's outside of his definition, what he says Stephanie wants in that letter, because she wants somebody who's going to represent her interests. A proxy.
Yes.
What he's talking about is something completely different. A constable isn't somebody who's in the eyes and ears of a broader authority figure.
No, they're peacekeepers.
They're peacekeepers, exactly.
Which isn't his MO anyways.
Right.
He wants to do the opposite of that. He wants to cause chaos and pain for his own enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, he's a corrupt constable.
Yeah.
So we know that off the bat. But anyways, I don't know. I thought it should have been funnier than it was. I was just kind of, I don't know. At first, I think I was just really disappointed when he showed up to see Kurt Angle. I was just really disappointed. Number one, this means we're going to get at least 6 months of Baron Corbin as constable. It's just going to be endless him being annoying on Raw.
Messing with people and being annoying.
It's going to be so long.
I did like that. I feel like he slipped into a shoot voice while reading the letter. He really didn't do this stuff.
Right.
He just talked in his normal voice.
He was just talking in his normal voice.
Yeah.
By order of Stephanie McMahon. Yeah. I'm now constable.
I'm constable.
Yeah. Hey. And I totally meant. So I think I figured out Rich Hardesty sent me my favorite.
Oh, the Odo Photoshop?
I asked somebody. I asked all the friendos last night.
I saw
to
that.
To send me either a Photoshop or preferably a drawing of Corbin as Odo. And Rich Hardesty sent a really good one. Because you know why? Because he didn't put his whole head on there. He just took his face and he swapped out.
Oh,
so
yes.
He's got hair. Look at that.
Yeah, I know.
That's great right there.
That's so awesome.
I'm gonna print this out when I get home and put it up on the wall. I don't have any ink in the printer here.
Oh, no.
No.
Next, we had Natalya versus Nia Jax. Ronda Rousey joined the commentary team.
Yeah.
For the match. During the match, Nia had the upper hand for most of it. Natalya turned the tables. She did that move where she runs and kind of runs atop of her opponent while they're in a seated position.
Yeah.
And while she was coming off the ropes, she tweaked her knee. I'm going to tell you this. I'm really tired of these injury angles that aren't motivated by moves.
Hey, we had two of them last night.
I know. And they use it way too often. There's times when people will jump off the top rope and tweak their knee or jump off the apron and tweak their knee. In this case, just running, tweak their knee.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. If you want to establish an injury, work it into the story you're telling in the match.
Yeah. No, I agree with
like
you.
Like if Nia was working over the limb.
Work the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That is fine. That's storytelling. This is just like a fluky thing that you use to explain a loss.
Now, after that, so Nia Jax got the win with the Samoan drop. But because she's still kind of towing the line, she sort of heals up when it comes to Ronda Rousey. But overall, she's still Nia Jax. She's still like a decent human being, I guess, because she was showing concern for Natalya.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Natalya's close to Ronda Rousey. She was on commentary. She comes down to check on Natalya, and they start kind of beefing a little bit over who gets to check on Natalya.
Yeah, who's the better friend.
Right. I personally liked, you and I talked about it pretty extensively last week. You were so on it. I actually kind of liked what we saw last week from this. Wasn't huge on this because I thought it was just cheesy. Like, Nia Jax, just go away. You don't have to be there. Like, you're hovering. You're lingering. I don't like that.
It wasn't her fault. It wasn't Nia's fault that Natalya got hurt.
Right.
It was just a weird thing.
She was just trying to one-up Ronda Rousey.
Because later on, backstage, I'll skip ahead to this, Natalya's got some ice on her knee. Ronda's hanging out with her, making sure she's okay. Nia walks in. And she says something like, I'm as good as friends with Natalya as you are, Ronda.
Yeah.
It's like, why does it have to be a competition?
Yeah, that's silly. That's just silly. So next up we had, I actually really like this.
This Bobby Roode interview was really good.
Bobby Roode
was. He showed dimension.
Yeah, he said, it's going to be glorious when I pull that Money in the Bank briefcase down. However, tonight against Braun Strowman, I just have to find a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. That's good.
He seemed resigned to his fate to a certain extent. He also said he had to pull all the tricks out of his sleeve that he knew.
He's been in the business for almost 20 years.
Yes. So, which made me think, maybe we're going to get some hijinks from Bob Roode.
It was a really fun match.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a really fun match. That came next, Braun Strowman versus Bobby Roode. I really like this. Bobby Roode pulled the ladder from under the ring. We're doing a lot of Money in the Bank type situations here. He sets it up from the apron to the barricade and then started,
running around the ring.
Around the ring. Braun gave chase. Bobby Roode slid under the ladder. And then, Braun obviously is not going to go sliding under the ladder, nor is he going to jump it. And so Bob Roode was saying, come on, big boy, come on, come at me. And then Braun Strowman, of course, just double axe handles. Or no, he just like throws his hands down and snaps the ladder in half.
The ladder got those hands.
The ladder got the hands. Crowd during a lot of the match was chanting, get these hands.
Oh, yeah.
He's supremely over. He should be face of the company.
Yes, he should.
And so Bob Roode's reaction to that
sold
was
it wonderfully.
Amazing. Fantastic. It was like when Kirk's son got killed and he heard that, Captain Kirk, David is dead. And then he Klingon bastards. And he just sort of, tried to sit in his chair, but he fell.
Yeah.
That's what Bob Roode did last night.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't know, everything comes back to Star Trek for me, dude. Sorry. Big old nerd. Bob Roode then tried to run away, tripped. And then the monster, took him, put him in the ring.
Power slam, 1, 2, 3, Braun wins.
Yeah, exactly. So that, I think, brings Bobby Roode up in our power rankings for Money in the Bank.
While you mentioned that.
Possible Money in the Bank winners.
Let's do that right now.
Oh, the whiteboard's over there. And I think I left the dry erase markers at home.
That's fine. I'll just make note of it here.
I'll bring him tomorrow.
There we go.
And we'll be ready.
So, for sure, Finn Balor's not winning.
Because he climbed the ladder. We got all of his good Money in the Bank stuff.
Last night. Samoa Joe's not winning because he pulled the briefcase from on SmackDown last week.
Yeah.
So they're for sure not winning.
Right.
Who else we got? Braun, Miz, Rusev, Bob Roode, Kevin Owens, and a member of the New Day. I feel like the Miz has to be one or two.
What confirmed matches are happening on SmackDown tonight?
As far as I know, they only have the there's a contract signing between Nakamura and Styles, and then there's a segment between Asuka and Carmella.
Okay.
I can look on WWE.com and see what they have for a preview.
SmackDown preview on the way. Oh, there we go. Let's see. Maybe we can figure out who's going to climb the ladder and
tonight, yeah,
tonight and hoist that thing. Because it's probably like if it follows suit, it's probably going to be a face tonight that does it.
Why is this on Tumblr?
What the heck is that? What was that?
That was weird.
That was really weird. Here we go.
Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. That's been announced. And then, tag match.
All right.
So no singles men's matches announced. Anyways, we don't need that.
Yeah.
I feel like The Miz has to be one or two, though, in terms of topping the power rankings.
That'd be something else, man. That'd be good. I could see that. We've heard for a while now they want to give him a push. That's a great way to do it.
I'm going to put Miz number one.
Because, man, I really think they're gonna do this Miz Daniel Bryan thing over the title.
They could.
I get the feeling they're going to do that. Probably like post-SummerSlam.
Braun number two. Series.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like New Day member might be three, especially if it ends up being Big E.
Yeah.
And then I'll say Bob Roode.
Yeah.
And then Rusev. No, I'll put Kevin Owens above Bob Roode.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kevin Owens would be money with that thing.
Yeah, no. Both he and The Miz like fit the Money in the Bank winner template.
Absolutely perfectly, yeah.
Bob Roode and then Rusev.
There you go.
There we go. So one Miz, two Braun, three
You know what's funny,
New
though?
Day.
Even though Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, see, here's what I would do on the whiteboard. Rusev would be my number eight. I think he is far and away like the last guy. Here's my thing. I'll put it this way. Vince McMahon could still wake up between now and Money in the Bank and decide he wants to pull the trigger on Finn Balor or Samoa Joe. Could still happen.
That could still happen, I know.
He will never wake up between now and Money in the Bank and decide to pull the trigger on Rusev. Never would happen.
Yeah, probably won't happen.
He might. Now, we've heard rumors that he's souring on Bob Roode. But I'll believe that when I really see it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But no, I think Rusev is so far down the list. Like there's
He's six.
There's eight participants.
Of all the people who have yet to climb a ladder during a segment on Raw or SmackDown, he's the bottom of that list.
There are eight participants. I'd put him at number 10. That's how low he is
I feel like Finn is guaranteed not to win that. He literally had his Money in the Bank moment last night on Raw.
He did. You're absolutely right. However, Vince, I think, is still probably intrigued by him. I think that there's the possibility that he could wake up and say, I don't think there's any universe where Vince McMahon would be like, oh yeah, have Rusev win it. I think there's still a universe where Finn Balor might do it. If he saw the reaction to that last night, because it was a pretty good reaction. If he liked what he saw, he could still pull the trigger on it. I just don't think it's in the plans
Now I don't know what the algorithm, the math is for lead up to Money in the Bank. People who have gone up the ladder, pulled the briefcase off, have any of those people won? Last year, Nakamura did it, I think, on the Go Home show, and Corbin won.
Yeah.
So I think generally speaking, if prior to the Money in the Bank, if you get your hands on
you're
that briefcase,
probably right.
You don't win.
You probably don't want to climb that ladder and touch that briefcase before Money in the Bank.
As far away from it as possible.
You're probably right. Next up, we had a Kevin Owens interview where he said the phrase too sweet like a million times.
Too sweet. What does it even mean?
Because this was the first time in WWE
On main roster.
Then
we got
right.
Owens
that's
versus
right.
Finn
right.
Balor. They had a couple matches in NXT.
That's right. Next up. Did they ever fight? Did Fergal Devitt, did Prince Devitt and Kevin Steen ever fight? Wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe. I know Ring of Honor and New Japan have been doing crossover shows for a while because Owens and Nakamura have wrestled.
I'm going to put in
Kevin Steen versus Prince Devitt. Sorry, thank you, Kevin Steen.
And if the first video we see is a 2K18 or 2K17 recreation, then it's probably no. 2K14, great. Let's see here. Bryan Danielson versus Fergal Devitt from ages ago. Well, I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Anyways, next up, so Kevin Owens talked about him and Finn Balor.
Next, the aforementioned Ronda Natalya backstage segment with Nia Jax in the trainer's area.
Mm-hmm.
Natalya was getting her knee iced.
Yeah, we already talked about
this.
After that, we had a... How you doing over there?
This thing came off.
Yeah.
It's bothering me. I'm trying to get it back.
Do you want me to help?
No.
I can do it. I know exactly how to do it.
I know how to do it too, but it's just not...
I don't think you do. Next up, we had an in-ring interview with Woken Matt and Bray Wyatt. The odds of them retaining their titles are kind of sinking for me. They're going down a bit. They're not doing anything.
Well, they're not doing anything. That's true. But this B team thing just feels like Fashion Police 2.0.
You think they're going to get to the precipice and not hit it? I don't know, man. The Fashion Police didn't get this hot this quick with this amount of momentum. It was a slow burn, man.
Pretty hot pretty quick. They just milked it for a while.
It was a slow burn.
It took like 3 episodes of Fashion File something to get super over.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty much 3 weeks for B team.
But also during the problem is you're right. However, I will say this. The Usos and New Day were hot in a hot feud during that time. Mm-hmm. The Wyatts are broken, whatever their freaking names are.
The leaders of worlds.
They are doing nothing right now.
Yeah, they're not doing anything. They're not even interesting.
I mean, granted, they might be waiting for the B team to you know. But, man, they are doing nothing.
Yeah,
they've
not
done
doing
nothing with them besides just put the titles on them.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd love to see a protracted feud between them, though. B team showing up at the Wyatt compound and the Hardy compound.
Yeah, Matt T, something like that. Another...
I'd love that.
That'd be tag great. Team Apocalypto.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
In any event, they were, of course, previewing the...
tag team Battle Royal, which happened right afterwards.
Mm-hmm. We had... this was... it was kind of... I kind of felt... Did you like, think from the get that B team was going to win this? I felt it was going to go to Dolph and Drew. I thought they were going to pull the trigger on that. Sooner.
They should have.
Yeah, I know. I was like, really? They that quickly?
Instead, they're eliminated. Well, Dolph... They see, the rules for these tag team battle royals change a lot sometimes.
Didn't it used to be like the entire
both
team
members
had to be eliminated.
Yeah,
right.
And now, once one, I mean, they did that to cover for Dolph and Drew, obviously. Once one member of the team is eliminated, the entire team is eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So, the very first elimination, like Dolph does his usual thing where he's nearly eliminated like 10 times, is finally eliminated by Tyler Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drew proceeds to destroy everybody.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That
was cool.
Yeah. But if you're going to have, unless this is. They're planting the seeds for their breakup already.
They seem pretty unified after they got eliminated.
Yeah. Then what's the really the point? Like, you still could have had this match without them involved. You don't have to replace them with another team at all.
Yeah.
Just don't have them involved. Unless there's a storyline that you're starting to tell.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the tag division isn't deep enough for them to do anything with anybody else beyond the champions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but I mean,
Authors of Pain weren't even involved
in
the show.
Authors of Pain?
Probably on main event again.
Oh, man. Are they just going in everybody's locker and peeing in there or something? What's going on with them?
Are they just
like hated now?
I don't get it.
Wow. Man. Or do they just want to keep them separate from like the largely comedic element that we have going on?
Might be. I mean, this Battle Royal really showed the lack of depth in the Raw tag division.
Yeah, man, you had Heath Slater and Rhino. They were the last ones eliminated.
You know, it was interesting, like a passing of the torch moment.
It was, it totally was.
Comedy team to comedy team.
Yeah, it totally was. And they had the titles.
Mm-hmm.
They got hot quick.
Yeah. But also, it was more than like 3 weeks. That storyline played out.
Yeah.
And then, B team ended up winning on like a fluke type deal where Heath Slater had one of the B team members in a body slam position, swung around. Rhino was on the apron. Because of that, Rhino got knocked off the apron.
Yeah.
Heath Slater and Rhino eliminated, B team wins.
Yeah.
And then they celebrate. Poor, it wasn't really a satisfying victory.
Poor Revival. They don't even get the opportunity.
I know.
They don't even get the opportunity to be a comedy act.
I know.
Wow. Hey, I was wrong on that one. I said, just give it time. See, you know, they're not buried at the Raw 25. They're not buried now. Well, they are now.
Yeah, pretty much.
They are buried.
Which is a bummer.
Buried. Wow.
They can be putting on 5-star matches.
Yep. Yep.
Imagine they let them do what they do against the likes of Dolph and Drew.
Can we skip?
It'd be incredible.
This Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn stuff and go straight to the weird dueling interviews? Wasn't the interview with Jinder and Roman
weird? How did they know what the other person was saying?
How did they know what they were saying, dude? That was the weirdest. That was so weird.
I can only suspend disbelief so much.
I know. I was like, that's so weird. Let's talk about this Bobby Lashley thing. It was terrible. Number one, why did Bobby Lashley have a brand new out-of-the-box generic baseball cap with no logo on it? Wasn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of weird going on. It was like somebody, it was like the creator wrestler clothing attire thing was on random.
Yeah.
Completely random.
Yeah.
No logo on the hat.
No.
That was weird. Larson, why is it Impact Wrestling.
Got it right.
Got it exactly right. And compelling with Bobby Lashley. This wasn't, so this didn't have the controversy, you could call it that maybe, that some people felt the men and women's outfits controversy, the Lashley sisters segment had. Instead, it was just boring and cringeworthy.
And ended on a
downer of a note.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn. So
what happens is Lashley comes down the ring. He calls out Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's Titantron hits. Music plays.
Hold on. Back up 1 second.
What?
This is what confused the crap out of me in the first place. What happened last week? Sami Zayn came out to apologize.
Yeah.
And they settled everything, and they ended up saying, okay, we're going to go to Money in the Bank and settle this.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then, well, no, Bob Lashley crushed Sami Zayn's hand.
Right. Yeah. This odd thing. Yeah. Nothing. There was nothing else to respond to.
Not really.
And so, yeah. So Lashley comes out.
Says, Sami Zayn, come out here. Instead of coming down when his music played, Sami comes in through the crowd.
Yeah.
And then says, Bobby, you're a fraud. Here, I'll pull up your
Instagram
account.
Yeah.
So he shows two or three stills from Bobby's Instagram account, which is inspirational quotes,
yeah.
And so Sami said he used one of his other secret accounts, a burner account essentially, to send Bobby Lashley a message.
Yeah.
And in response, Bobby Lashley, in kayfabe, sent him a link to the Bobby Lashley fan club.
Right, yeah.
Which the card he came up was so obviously designed by someone in WWE's design department.
I know.
Had all the hallmarks of something coming up from that design department. Anyway. And so he says, where's the genuine response, essentially? That's what Sami Zayn's point was. You're a fraud. You claim to be, approachable. And yet when I approach you, you sent me, a copy and paste response, trying to get money from me.
I can't believe we're talking about this right now.
I know.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm like, this is twice as stupid as I thought it was last night, listening to you describe
it. And at no point did Lashley, in his retort, say, this is obviously something you made up in Photoshop at home.
Right, right.
The closest he got to denying the whole thing was, you're coming out here and doing all this at the expense of my reputation or something like that.
Yeah.
But, it's obviously just some crap Photoshop deal. You took 5 minutes in Photoshop to do this garbage?
Yeah.
This obviously isn't.
This is terrible.
This obviously isn't real.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. Yeah. It's the scripting of it was they didn't hit any of the necessary beats to even make it, have it make sense.
And here's my biggest problem with this entire thing, because it gets worse. My biggest problem with this entire thing is I have seen a very personable, charming, compelling Bobby Lashley. He was in Impact Wrestling. It was less than a year ago. And my Twitter feed is just chock full of people, friendos who weren't witness to that, saying, man, Lashley has the personality of a doorbell, or a doorknob, whatever.
Yeah.
All sorts of different metaphors for inanimate objects. And watching this, I agree. But I know for a fact that it's not him. Because I've seen more from him. When he's given good material, you can see his personality.
Mm-hmm.
And it shines through.
Mm-hmm.
And this is doing him such a disservice. And the company such a disservice, because they can make a lot of money off the guy.
Yeah.
And instead they're giving him this. So anyway, Sammy's in the crowd. And he basically ends with saying, you're a big liar. Everything about you is a lie. And is your army service, is that even real? And then everybody, the crowd starts chanting USA for some reason. I'm not sure why that would spur. I mean, I get it. You mentioned military, crowd starts chanting USA. But I think it was Corey Graves or Michael Cole. Somebody steps in. Maybe it was Otunga, says, his military service record is legit. He did serve, et cetera, et cetera. But it just, it stepped into this territory that just, for how stupid this entire angle has been, especially with two guys that have such an immense amount of talent,
mm-hmm.
to be doing such a lousy job booking them creatively and doing this angle, to then drift into questioning the guy's military service. It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's so bad. And it's it didn't even have the car wreck appeal of the Lashley sister segment.
It was just a bunch of words that were really poorly written.
Yeah.
Just really, really bad writing here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was a big, like, when I was like, God, that was such a, and then he had the hat that didn't have a logo on it. That was weird. I don't know why that, I don't know. I was like, what is that hat he's wearing? And that's, I mean, I wish that was the worst thing about it, because then we can sit here and laugh about it.
Yeah. That's like 30 seconds maybe. But
yeah,
now we
exactly.
just spent 5 minutes dissecting a horrible segment.
Right. Exactly.
Speaking of weird segments, so next, Jinder Mahal was being interviewed by Charlie Crusoe, I believe.
This was amazing.
And then, you know, he's saying, you know, Roman Reigns is given every opportunity. He has these conspiracies in mind, but that's not true. He's given everything, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charlie says, well, let's get Roman's response. Cut to Roman and Renee Young.
Yeah.
And hold on.
What?
Hold on. Renee Young kind of fills him in on what...
When do they do that ever?
Never.
Never.
Unless it's like a set up split screen interview. Anyways, Renee Young kind of briefly fills in Roman on what Jinder said.
Yeah.
And then Roman responds. So this, hold on. In terms of the technology of how communication happens, made a little bit of sense. Because you got to assume Renee Young has an earpiece. Yeah. She can hear what's going on. Roman, on the other hand, has no idea what Jinder does say. So up to that point, I was like, this is a weird structural thing they're doing. It's different. Okay. But then from that point on, it was like Jinder and Roman Reigns were talking to each other. They could hear what they were saying while, because we saw later on, they were a great distance apart, probably in separate rooms.
Yes.
They weren't hearing a word of the other person was saying. And yet they were responding to each other like they were right next to each other.
Come on, man. Like, it was so awkward and strange. Like, what?
It's like, how is this? It's not possible. It's just not possible.
And here, okay, so here's the thing.
It's really just saying, hey, look, these guys are reading from a script.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Here's the thing. So, like, you and I and people who, look, there are people out there, my wife, for example, she has told me that now, after being married to me for whatever, 6 years, being together for almost 10, she picks apart when we're watching TV. She'll, like, okay, so, for example, we've been watching The Shield lately, right? And I think that The Shield was originally shot for 4:3.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I think. And I say that because, like, it started in 2002. There's one shot I caught the other day of, it was like a long shot. It's sort of a moving shot of two of the characters walking, like, on this construction site. And you see, like, full as day on the right hand of the screen, addition, like another camera crew, like moving with them. And it was not even hidden. Hmm. It was like just plain. I was like, I wonder if they used to crop it or something. And maybe that was.
Yeah, yeah.
But in any event, Lacey always talks about how whenever she watches movies and TV shows, because I always pick apart that stuff, the technology aspect of things, she does the same thing now. She's like, oh, I wonder how they shot this particular thing or what had to go on the set. And so for people who kind of give a crap about that production aspect of things, that's exactly right. You know, mm-hmm. like we point out why he can't hear him.
Yeah. So why is he responding to him as
but
if
the,
he
the
could,
problem
yeah.
is it's unnerving for, I would imagine, for even people who don't really care about that stuff, simply because it's not an interview setup that naturally we get, because they don't do that. They just don't do that very often. Mm-hmm. So it just takes you out of the show. It's like all of a sudden, wait, why is he able to hear? Like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, it just takes people out of it, even if you're not paying attention to the fact that they're not wearing earpieces, they can't hear the interview.
Yeah.
It's so silly. And like you said, the worst part about it is that it just draws attention to the fact that these guys are reading from a damn script.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so bad.
So it concludes with Rain saying, okay, I'm going to find you, Jinder, and I'm going to beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
So then the camera follows as he exits the space he is in, mm-hmm. walks for a good, I don't know, 20, 25 seconds, and meets Jinder and... you know, kind of this part of the arena.
Yeah.
Backstage area.
Jinder throws Sunil into Roman. That always kind of makes me laugh when he does that.
And then they fight.
Yeah.
And it's broken up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just bad writing.
Yeah, it really is, man. It really is. I don't know why they're trying, like, finding new ways to be, like, I don't know. It's just odd. Anyways, next up, we had a thrown together match. Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, and Ember Moon versus the Riot Squad.
A heel and two faces.
Yeah, when Alexa Bliss came out, I was like, okay, cool. And then Sasha Banks comes down there and her partner. I was like, what? Are we considering Sasha heel now? Is that happening?
No, but then Ember Moon
And then Ember Moon
the
comes
ring.
Down. I'm like, oh, no, she's a face.
But within 30 seconds, Alexa had found a way to get herself out of the match.
Yeah.
That felt like she faked a knee injury when she sold it as a real knee injury.
Yeah.
But she sells a leg injury, walks out of the ring. So it's a 3-on-2 match now.
Right.
And then, I don't know, towards the end, of course, Riot Squad has the upper hand for the most part because they have the numbers advantage. But then at a certain point, Bayley just comes on out.
Runs down.
Stands in the faces corner, gets the hot tag.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in a sense to replace Alexa Bliss.
Belly to belly on
Liv Morgan gets the pin.
Yeah.
Match is over.
Yeah.
They celebrate like they won. Referee right. John Cone.
Yeah.
Counts the pinfall.
Counts the pinfall.
Calls for the bell to be rung. It's in his mind an official match.
Yeah.
What do we always hear? Referee's decision stands.
Yeah.
So anyways, we go backstage. Constable Corbin and Kurt Angle are watching on a TV screen what is going down.
Yeah.
And Constable Corbin says, no, Bailey's not a legal player in the match.
The voice of reason.
Yeah.
The voice of reason.
They didn't win.
Yeah.
And essentially, you got to go tell them their win doesn't count.
You need to go tell them that their win doesn't count. Or do you want to go straight? Or me to go straight? Stephanie, what do you want to do now?
You better tell me,
Kurt
man.
Kurt Angle. Tell me that. What
Kurt says, all right, and leaves the office.
Yeah, he goes
And
away.
Then we see Ember Moon, Sasha Banks, and Bayley backstage. Ember, she wants to celebrate, but first she wants Sasha and Bayley to hug it out because Bayley made the save. Right as they're about to do so, Kurt walks up, says, Bayley, you weren't legal. So
afraid I've got some bad news.
Win doesn't stand.
Yeah.
And then Sasha looks to Bayley and is like, ugh, and walks off.
So...
Instead of having a reason to celebrate that Bayley came down, had her back, helped them win, just because they didn't win.
In a completely meaningless match.
Yes, just because they didn't win.
Yeah.
Then now they still can't make up. It's ridiculous.
Like, dude, Larson, why are we not getting, like, every Raw for an extended period of time, like a main event, Sasha versus Bayley. You know they can bring the house down.
Best of seven, man.
You know they can bring the house down.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And instead they're doing this weird, like...
Drawn out,
in and out,
but
not really
adding
declaring.
Any extra heat to any of it by drawing it out. This might have been my favorite moment of the night, though. We had this poorly mic'd bit where Constable Corbin
this was great.
Goes up to John Cone, the referee
great.
Of the match,
yeah.
and just says, it's not that hard of a job.
Yeah, and he says, like, not everybody's cut out for this line of work.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's poorly mic'd, so it's like, this isn't that hard of a job.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was supposed to be mic'd better or not mic'd at all.
I think it was supposed to be like the barrel. No, I think it was supposed to be like they're supposed to be background extras. But maybe Corbin just doesn't really – he can't quite wrap his head around talking.
But usually they'll do that stuff where, you know, they'll have someone walking backstage or kind of act like they're talking to each other. But the commentary team will talk over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they didn't talk over anything.
right, yeah.
So it was confusing whether it was just really poorly mic'd or someone missed their cue on commentary and they'll talk over it.
Right, yeah.
Again, a really weird episode of Raw. But it was just funny hearing Corbin berate –
with a smile on his
John,
face.
I know, John Cone, about how inept he was at doing his job.
You know, it's really not that hard a job. You could, you know, it's not
a lot of work's not cut out for
everybody. It's not cut out for everybody. How long has John Cone been doing this? Like forever?
Yeah, probably a very long time.
Cut out for everybody. But, I mean, he had a good point. I don't know why he didn't feel, hey, what are you doing here? Anyways, next up we had the Big Show with Team Texas. This is like a Special Olympics thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah.
That was very heartwarming.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Next up, Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. Larson, main event time. Finn Balor, Kevin Owens.
This can main event any pay-per-view.
Oh, my God. This should be able to main event any pay-per-view. And we got a DQ finish.
It was a decent match, but then a DQ finish. So Kevin Owens is prone. Finn is scaling the top rope to go for a coup de grace.
Right.
Kevin Owens knocks him off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
Finn's in the Tree of Woe.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Owens has the upper hand.
Yeah.
After a pretty decent back and forth. So it's not like he's getting squashed.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens starts dropping boots on Finn while in the Tree of Woe. Finn gets out of the Tree of Woe, slumps in the corner. Kevin Owens continues to just kick him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't recognize the referee's five count. Because of that, he is disqualified. What is the motivation for Kevin Owens to continually stomp Finn Balor when he's has the upper hand of the match?
Yeah.
Why? Just why?
I don't know.
I don't get the motivation behind it.
I don't know.
So he's DQ'd. Match is thrown out. Owens goes to top rope, hits a frog splash on Finn, goes out to the ring or outside the ring, pulls a ladder from underneath, puts it in the ring, sets it up, scales the ladder, mimicking kind of his Hell in the Cell match with Shane. We went to the top of the cell, and was afraid to do the frog splash. Mm-hmm. He goes to like the second to the top rung on the ladder, acts like he's too scared to do a frog splash off it, goes down halfway, same, goes down basically the second rung before Finn pulls him off. And then Finn goes to the second to the top run, hits a coup de grace on Kevin Owens, which is a cool spot.
Yeah, it was great.
Goes back up the ladder, gets the briefcase, guaranteeing the fact that he will not win Money in the Bank.
You're probably right.
That's his Money in the Bank moment. Unfortunately, it's not actually at Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, man, because we were just talking about that last week, saying, hey, how cool it would be, you know, to see Finn Balor do a coup de grace off the top of the ladder, or at least the second rung. And he did it.
On Raw.
But it was on Raw, so you're probably not going to see it at Money in the Bank.
No.
Or if we do, it's not going to matter. He's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I still say his odds are better than Rusev. I still say Vince can still wake up and pull the trigger on Finn or Samoa Joe.
I understand your point, but I don't think it's going to happen.
More than, I don't think it's going to happen either.
Based on what we said.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But I give him better odds than Rusev. Let's see here. All right, let's answer some questions.
All right.
How about we do that?
Yeah, let's answer questions.
It was a thrilling episode of Raw.
Oh, my goodness. It was too much to... It was too much to take in. Maybe that we were just overwhelmed by the brilliance of it.
That could be.
Nemo, it might just be me, but do you think the iPhone promos are not done on phones? Last week, Mickey let go on the phone before the video. I noticed this too, the video, and they all seem to be stable and to be actually handheld.
The best.
The Colognes one,
The best was, were they both in the shot, or was it just Primo or Epico or whatever? Anyways, one of them Cologne dudes, or both of them, whatever, they did one. And the quality was crystal clear, and his hand was, he was like this, making it look like, but then like his hand starts to drift into it.
And the camera doesn't move.
Right. It was great.
I know.
Oh, that
I've
was
noticed
awesome.
Some of them that the picture quality is far too good to be a self-facing iPhone camera.
Some of them are obvious. Like at that point, just don't even... Look, man, it doesn't matter if it's on the iPhone or not. If it's on the iPhone and it's a compelling promo, then run it. If you don't have an iPhone that works, or whatever the reason why the clones or Mickey James,
you know, better visual quality,
then don't have them. You look like an idiot doing this because it's not going to. That's so dumb.
It is dumb.
It's like we know, man. Don't draw attention to the.
I mean, that's all they're doing. They're making it meta, but in all the wrong ways. Let's make it see like these guys are obviously reading from scripts.
They're booking their Andy Warhol.
Unretired Dwayne Nix. I'm reading the number of likes it got for some reason. With rumors swirling around stating it was like doing super chats.
two likes.
I know.
Dwayne Nix, two likes.
With rumors swirling around stating that Seth Rollins might possibly be the next opponent for Brock Lesnar SummerSlam. Do we see Rollins losing the Intercontinental title at Money in the Bank? Not Money in the Bank, no. I don't see Elias picking up that belt.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about it.
However, I would only want Seth to be in the match against Lesnar at SummerSlam if he were to win it. Otherwise, not interested.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I don't want to see any wrestler I actually like take on Lesnar unless they're going to defeat Lesnar.
Yes. Who else? Oh, Kevin Owens. Ooh, boy, that's going to be something else. If Rollins beats Lesnar and then Kevin Owens comes out with the Money in the Bank briefcase, that'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, wait. Speaking of Money in the Bank, we're going to do our predictions next week.
Yeah, yeah. It's a week from this upcoming Sunday.
I'm trying to think what titles Raw Women's Championship could change hands.
Yeah.
SmackDown Championship could, but I that might be a Money in the Bank cash in deal.
You have Styles versus Nakamura. That title could change hands.
That could change hands.
Like the SmackDown tag titles, they're not changing hands.
Is the United States Championship up? Probably will be in the pre-show. Probably be in the pre-show.
Maybe. But then I don't really see a title changing hands in the pre-show.
I see too many other titles potentially changing hands over the IC title. Mm-hmm. I'll put it that way. Because I could see the Raw Women's, the SmackDown, the WWE Championship, rather.
Oh, you have Asuka versus Carmella. That title could change hands, too.
That could change hands in a couple different ways because of that Money in the Bank briefcase. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Alex Foster. If not Baron, who should Hawkins beat to end the streak? It's Baron. It's got to be Baron.
Or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Uh... the flatulence of gastric execution wet fart. New patron here. The non-news episode with Real One's rap video finally made me a patron. Who would win in a shoot fight, Luchando or Steve?
Oh, so Luchando is physically, he's kind of a mess, but I think he's still in better shape than me. I'd probably give it to Luchando.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, he would have the quickness advantage.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably give it to Luchando.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I could absorb some shots.
Maybe.
And then just lock him in some. I'm like fighting a bear, you know.
All right.
Like, if it was between you and me, it'd be me.
Well, I don't know.
Completely and totally.
I don't know, man.
Like, no. So, like, the order, pecking order, is Luchando possibly number one. More like Luchando and me tied. And then you.
Bronze grappling hook. What would Luchando's ceiling be in WWE? Something like Curt Hawkins, probably. And he says, I want a Luchando I'm Known to Struggle t-shirt. That's a great idea.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. He'd have to be on the show more for us to do that.
I think he's left already left a fantastic impression.
Let's see. We have some new patron questions here. J.C. Zephyr. I remember back in the early days of Money in the Bank, there were winners who decorated their briefcases with their logos. Remember RVD? He had his airbrush.
Yeah. Remember Damian Sandow?
Oh, I love that one.
The leather, leather briefcase.
Yeah. He says, would it be great for that concept to return for the superstars of today? Yes, I think they should always do that. Carmella's should be all decked out.
Yeah.
Or when she had it.
Yeah.
Carmella's title should be decked out with her kind of aesthetic.
I know. I loved it when Naomi had all the LED
great.
Lights
I know,
and stuff
it was
on there. It was fantastic. So if Braun wins Money in the Bank, how should he deck it out?
I feel like Braun's not really the kind of guy who would personalize stuff.
He'd just personalize it with dents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he would just throw it around. He'd treat it like Naito treat the ice.
Finn Balor, I think he should decorate it like his real rock and roller jacket in New Japan.
LEDs. Good, I like that.
The Miz.
Well, no, with Finn Balor, it would be Money in the Balor Club logo, Hank.
There you go.
The Miz.
Rusev's easy. He'll put Happy Rusev Day on it.
Yeah, of course.
Bob Roode will say Glorious.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens.
I don't know. I feel like he would just do, like, he just wouldn't.
Yeah, I feel the same. Same with Samoa Joe.
He would think that it's stupid. Same with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and the New Day is pretty obvious.
Yeah. What a great question this is. Another first-time Patreon question. Ollie W., Ottawa's finest friendo. If I was a fan, I would have been pissed, in attendance. I would have been pissed off that I didn't get tacos.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, do you guys like soft or hard shell tacos
more?
Oh,
great question.
He says he's more of a soft taco shell lover.
Depends on my mood. I like them both.
Yeah, I can't give a definitive answer.
It also depends what's inside. I feel like if you're doing like a traditional ground beef or a ground turkey, hard shell.
Okay.
Pretty much anything else soft.
Okay. That's a well thought out answer right there.
Yeah.
I would say this. I think I enjoy soft more than hard.
I feel like you can get more in a soft shell taco.
I think so too. You just want to make sure you have like sturdy tortillas.
Yeah.
You know.
No flimsy ones, man. Tommy T, hey, friendos, which veteran or former worker in the business, by your estimation, has the least valuable opinion on modern wrestling?
Oh, man.
Well, Rip Rogers didn't. He was a guy that started the whole thing that led to the dive thing.
Yeah, the dive thing, yeah. I feel like, and here's the thing. I don't begrudge anybody for having a wrestling opinion that I disagree with. I personally really, really find Jim Cornette very entertaining. And I think, although I don't come close to agreeing with his philosophies, I mean, he just has a really old school philosophy on wrestling. You know, he's been
in the industry for a very long time.
He's been a part of some great successes in the industry. And that obviously is going to inform how he feels the industry should be. I don't agree with a lot of what he says. Anybody who considers Kenny Omega anything but an amazing wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
That being said, I respect the guy's opinion because he's been in it. So I would say Jim Cornette. I don't agree with pretty much with a lot of his opinions on wrestling. So
all right,
that'll be mine.
Barry say Finn Balor's demon is like venom and can infect another person. What superstar would you want it to take a hold of?
Sorry, should it go without saying that Vince Russo as well?
Oh yeah,
like completely not even. I don't respect any of that. No. I can't even say that I respect his opinion. So I'll just say that. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Say Finn Balor's demon is like venom and can infect another person. What superstar would you want it to take a hold of?
Like, if Bray was interesting, that could have been cool.
Yeah.
You know? The idea of Bray Wyatt. I have to consider him now just the idea of Bray Wyatt, because they've just done nothing.
The ideal of Bray Wyatt, because there was an ideal that they could have done with that character.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to his match against John Cena at WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, we should have known that they had no aspirations to take that character beyond this kind of middling, you know, like cult-type leader.
Yeah.
But never really catapulted him in anything really important. Sure, he held the WWE title for a while, but it was a forgettable reign. It didn't really mean anything. It was an avenue by which a boring face Randy Orton get the belt again.
Yeah. I think probably also I'd say this. If you want to consider, you know, Spider-Man was the first person to wear the Venom symbiote costume.
Yeah.
And then it went to a much larger guy.
Eddie Brock.
Very good. So it should be Braun Strowman.
Yeah,
that'd be like the then natural demon. Who would be
the Carnage, the one that was literally drove insane?
Well, the ideal of Dean Ambrose.
All right.
The Lunatard, Nikki Cross.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's who Nikki I was gonna Cross. Say. That's Nikki good. Cross. I think that'd be great.
Nick Montenegro, who will win Money in the Bank, a babyface or a heel?
I think it's gonna be a heel for the men's match. I still feel like the Miz has to be
Miz
number
or
one contender.
Kevin Owens, perhaps.
And then for the women's match, I wouldn't be surprised if a face wins.
Yeah, I think it could be.
Because the match is so face heavy.
Yeah, I know. The odds suggest that. I'm going to go. Unless I change it between now and next week, my pick for the women's match is probably going to be Becky Lynch. But it also, I'm not precluding a possible heel turn for her when she cashes in, also. Mm-hmm. Captain Mega Heel Troll, with the inconsistencies going on with Nia Jax's character, what angle would you take with her during her feud with Ronda Rousey? So I thought last week, my personal opinion was I felt the road they were trying to take was more along the lines of a UFC build. And so I would do something like that. I would do like press conferences and stuff like that and training videos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would until Ronda is really associated with wrestling, with pro wrestling, I would whoever she's facing, I would do more of a UFC type feel to it. So press conferences and training videos, you know, give us the technicalities of how Nia Jax is going to combat the armbar. I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Dangerous
sociopath, no way, Jose. This week marked the first time in months I didn't watch Raw, and based on what I've seen since the draft, I think I might be watching SmackDown or the network shows exclusively from now on. If you had to permanently cut one of WWE's weekly shows from your viewing schedule, which one would it be?
Well, this is what I thought last night after Raw. I thought, you know what?
Just watch the Hulu version.
The chore for the week is kind of over because we got SmackDown, which should be good.
Mm-hmm.
NXT, 205 Live should be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do on 205 Live. And then we get to watch Dominion.
On Friday night,
yeah.
Saturday morning.
So, I don't know. I mean, from WWE's schedule, I mean, I'll put it this way. Because of the position we're in, I would have to say 205 Live would go. I would probably still cut 205 Live. I enjoy watching 205 Live. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also kind of the least consequential programming there is.
It is. So. Until they get a Cruiserweight title match on pay-per-views on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I agree.
Let's see here. Oh, that's kind of an interesting question. Ricochet asks, The best pure heel in WWE of the last 15 years, in his opinion, is Muhammad Hassan. He has returned to wrestling recently. What are the chances that he would get rehired by WWE, considering the impact he made in less than a year, back when he was hot? If so, what is the chance that he keeps the same gimmick? I would say zero and zero and zero and zero. If for some, in some way, he were able to completely and totally revamp himself under a new name, a new gimmick, and demonstrate that he is a must-watch wrestler, I could see him being brought back under those circumstances. But I don't believe for a moment that they would want to revisit the Muhammad Hassan character. I don't think that would be the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either. GM Spud, John Cena only gets three more feuds in WWE. Choose one superstar from Raw, one from SmackDown, and one from NXT he should put over before he retires.
For who now?
Cena.
Oh, Cena. Who should Cena put over?
Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. On SmackDown, Samoa Joe. I think it'd be a great feud, ultimately.
Okay, that's a good one.
Samoa Joe goes
I like
over.
That. That's really good. That's really good.
On Raw, Braun, I guess?
I'm thinking Braun or Balor could have a high profile.
Oh, yeah, they were kind of setting that up, too, a few months back. That could have been a good match.
I could like that. That could be really good, especially if they go tweener with Balor, which they probably will never do.
NXT, Adam Cole.
Of course. Of course it's Adam Cole. Baby. All right, so what pay-per-view are we doing today?
Oh, I was thinking we can do some past Dominions, since Dominion's coming up this weekend.
Whoa, all right.
Really challenge ourselves.
Dominion. 2000. I'll go 2010.
All right, 2010 for Steve.
I guess.
Let me pick my year here.
Here.
You said 2010?
Yeah.
I will do 2012.
All right, are you ready? What is pay-per-view, Larson?
Well, as we quiz each other on the results of previous pay-per-views. How many matches you got?
Nine.
I have 10. I'll skip the first one.
Okay, sounds good.
First, six-man tag match between, man, I don't even know how to pronounce that that faction's name. So the teams are Rocky Romero, Ishii, and Yoshihashi taking on Captain New Japan. Wataru in it's I-N-O-U-E and Yuji Nagata.
I'm going to say the team with Yuji Nagata.
Wrong. Chaos won. Rocky Romero, Ishii, and Yoshihashi.
This is 2012?
Yeah.
Weren't they all like Young Lions back then?
No.
I guess not, huh? All right. Wait. This is 20. Oh, man. Come on. Sorry. Dominion. 2010 New Japan Pro Wrestling. I had it on my computer, but I don't want you looking at that.
Yeah, so that's good. That's a good idea.
Good idea. Good on me.
Good
here
on you.
All right, here we go. First match. In six-man tag team action, we've got Taguchi, Super Strong Machine. Who is Super Strong Machine? I feel like I don't know who that is. And Tama Tonga versus Akira, El Samurai, and Koji Kanemoto.
I'll go with the team with Tama Tonga.
Wrong.
Oh, bummer.
They lost. He was a young lion at the time.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking. I have no idea.
Next, in a tag team match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, team of Taichi and Taka Michinoku, Suzuki-gun, versus Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask.
What is this for? The junior tag straps?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the champions?
Nobody.
Vake, okay. I'm going to say Suzuki-gun.
No.
No?
No.
Who is it? Jushin Liger and who?
Tiger Mask.
Oh. All right. In six-man tag team action, chaos, including Gato, Iizuka, apparently, and Ishii, versus Kushida, Manabu Nakanishi, and Mitsuhide Hirasawa.
I'll go with Chaos.
Good. Yes, you win.
Next, a tag team match. MVP and Shelton Benjamin.
Okay.
Versus Carl Anderson and Tama Tonga.
Oh, man. Give me Bullet Club.
Wrong. This is before Bullet
no!
Club.
No! What a bummer. Okay. And a singles match. Muhammad Yone versus Hanma. Tomoaki Hanma.
Hanma.
No.
Damn.
Muhammad, maybe his name is Yone.
Next, match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. The challenger, Taguchi, versus the champion, Low Ki.
Oh, this is 2012 Dominion?
Yeah.
Taguchi.
Nope.
No, Low Ki kept it?
Yep.
It was around that time that he pissed them off by wearing that suit. It was around that time they said never come back. Singles match. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Daniel Pewter.
Oh, Nakamura.
Hey, kid, I'm a computer. Yeah. It was only 4 minutes, 40 wow. seconds.
Next, match for the IWGP Tag Team Championships. Warning, this gets a little weird around here. Team Chaos, which is Iizuka and Yano, versus Tenkozy, Tenzan and Kojima.
Tenzan and Kojima.
No, double count out.
Shit. All right. In a singles match, Masato Tanaka versus Hirooki Goto.
Tanaka.
No.
Damn. Okay, same teams. They restarted the match.
All right. Then who did I say the first time?
I don't remember. I think you said Chaos.
No, I said that it wasn't Chaos.
Oh, okay.
Not Chaos.
No, it was, no contest.
Ah, son of a bitch.
I told you it got a little weird.
All right. Three-way elimination tag team for the IWGP Tag Team All Championships. Right. No Limit, which All is right. Naito All and right. Takahashi.
Yeah.
Yujiro Takahashi. Bad Intentions, which was Giant Bernard and Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
Versus Seigigun.
All right.
Which was Wataru Inoue and Yuji Nagata. They came in as champions.
Oh, okay. I'll give it to Bad Intentions.
Very good. Yes.
Next, tag team match. Team Chaos, Tanaka and Nakamura versus Hirooki Goto and Tetsuya Naito.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos had a big night.
You're on the board.
All right. I'm on the board. Hair versus hair match. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Toru Yano.
Oh, Tanahashi had to win that.
Yes, correct.
Next, a singles match. Minoru Suzuki versus Makabe.
I have no idea what was going on at the time, but I'll say Suzuki.
No.
Okay. Singles match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Togi Makabe came in as champion. He fought Go Shiozaki.
I'll say Makabe.
Yeah. Very good.
Main event, champion Kazuchika Okada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Tanahashi.
Yep.
I got two.
I got five.
I'm glad I actually got those two. Wow. That literally just gave me a headache. Anyways, Hilton, or Luchando... Can you hit that music for us, please?
Why? No, Luchando's not Hilton. Why are you trying to...
I mean, Hilton. Just, yeah, thanks. Music's playing right now. Oh, there you go. Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. We really appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.